Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Jagannanda Pandit to visit his mother in Namadweep for gifts of cloth and prasadam. After one such visit, Jagannanda Pandit returned to Puri with a sonnet that had lately tried and written. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu read it, his ecstasy was so great that all of the Holy Spirit and Lord had very soon passed away. The Lord's condition was so serious that at night he would bruise and bloody his face by running it against the walls. To stop this, Swarup Damodar asked Shankar Pandit to stay at night in the same room with the Lord. This chapter further describes how Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu entered the Jagannath Vallabha garden during the full moon night of Baishak and experienced various transcendental ecstasies. Overwhelmed with ecstatic love and suddenly seeing Lord Sri Krishna beneath an Ashok tree, he exhibited various symptoms of spiritual madness. Text 1. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the most exalted of all devotees of mothers, spoke like a madman and rubbed his face against the walls. Overwhelmed by emotions of ecstatic love, he would sometimes enter the Jagannath Vallabha garden to perform his pastimes. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him.
Why is he referred to as most exalted of all devotees of mothers?
This is kind of here, it's personally how he sends Jagannanda to see his mother.
Okay. Yeah.
All glories to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all glories to Lord Nityananda, all glories to the great Acharya, all glories to all the devotees of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In the ecstasy of Lord Krishna, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thus behaved like a madman, talking insanely all day and night. Jagannanda Pandit was a very dear devotee of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Lord derived great pleasure from his activities. Knowing his mother would be greatly afflicted by separation from him, the Lord would send Jagannanda Pandit to Navadvipa every year to console her. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Jagannanda Pandit, "Go to Nadia and offer my obeisances to my mother. Touch her lotus feet in my name. Tell her from me, please remember that I come here every day and offer my respects to your lotus feet. Any day you desire to feed me, I certainly come and accept what you offer. I have given up service to you and have accepted the vow of sannyas. I have thus become mad and have destroyed the principles of religion. Mother, please do not take this as an offense, for I, your son, am completely dependent upon you. I am staying here at Neelachala Jagannath Puri according to your order. As long as I live, I shall not leave this place."
Following the order of Paramananda Puri, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent his mother the prasad clothing left by Lord Jagannath after his pastimes as a cowherd boy. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very carefully brought first-class prasadam from Lord Jagannath and sent it in separate packages to his mother and the devotees of Nadia. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the topmost gem of all devotees of mothers. He rendered service to his mother even after he had accepted the vow of sannyas. Jagannanda Pandit thus went to Nadia, and when he met Sachi Mata, he conveyed to her all the Lord's salutations. He then met all the other devotees, headed by Advaita Acharya, and gave them the prasadam of Jagannath. After staying for 1 month, he took permission from Mother Sachi to leave. When he went to Advaita Acharya and also asked his permission to return, Advaita Prabhu gave him a message to deliver to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Advaita Acharya had written a sonnet in equivocal language with an import that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could understand, but others could not. In his sonnet, Advaita Prabhu first offered his obeisances hundreds and thousands of times unto the lotus feet of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He then submitted the following statement at his lotus feet. "Please inform Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is acting like a madman, that everyone here has become mad like him. Inform him also that in the marketplace, rice is no longer in demand. Further tell him that those now mad in ecstatic love are no longer interested in the material world. Also tell Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that one who has also become a madman in ecstatic love, Advaita Prabhu, has spoken these words. When he heard Advaita Acharya's statement, Jagannatha Panda began to laugh. And when he returned to Jagannath Puri, Nilachal, he informed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu of everything. After hearing the equivocal sonnet by Advaita Acharya, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quietly smiled. "That is his order," he said. Then he fell silent. Although he knew the secret, Sri Damodar Goswami inquired from the Lord, "What is the meaning of this sonnet? I could not understand it." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, "Advaita Acharya is a great worshipper of the Lord and is very expert in the regular principles enjoined in the Vedic literatures. Advaita Acharya invites the Lord to come and be worshipped, and to perform the worship he keeps the deity for some time. After the worship is completed, he sends the deity somewhere else. I do not know the meaning of this sonnet, nor do I know what is in Advaita Prabhu's mind. Advaita Acharya is a great mystic. No one can understand him. He is expert in writing sonnets that even I myself cannot understand."
When one of the Madhava sannyasis visited the manor, and he had an assistant to do daily worship, like a whole big trunk that he had the daily paraphernalia, and only his people could help them. But every day he would install the deity, worship it. After he worshipped it, then he would say mantras to uninstall the deity, and then just sort of like chuck it back in the trunk with all the other paraphernalia. In other words, it's like sort of like this: install the deity, and call the deity, worship it, and when you finish, then you uninstall it. And
Prakatishta daily.
Yeah. But the way they treat the daily is sort of like they just sort of, you know, put it away. It's not the way we take care of the daily very carefully. It's sort of like it's not there.
Like putting him in a box.
Along with the paraphernalia.
What is your angle on quote unquote installed and uninstalled deities?
Well, for Gaudiyas, they're always installed. It's the form of the Lord is absolute. But for them, it's their, you know, they consider it, it's a contradictory system. You install them, you uninstall them.
How do we understand that statement? The Gaudiyas are all installed. I mean, Chaitanya Bhagavat specifically says that, you know, Vrindavan Das Thakur, he says that the Lord is always manifest in these forms, so Tulsi, Ganges, what was it, the other one, and then
his name, the deity,
but not the deity, but deity only when Pranapatishtha is there, otherwise not, he's not
that, elsewhere it's also, that's also in Chaitanya Bhagavat, isn't it? That Lord Chaitanya tells Mother Satchi, I'm always present with you in my form and in my name.
That's Mother Satchi. But not to anybody who walks with Lohi Bazaar.
It's just deity's form. If you're a regulated devotee, then that's the way it's going to be. If someone's a little more advanced, then Abhinathpanama, you know, there's no difference.
Yeah, that I can understand.
The form.
That I can understand. But not everybody's so advanced.
Yeah, the
Well, that's... axiomatic, right?
But it's still there. It's a question of whether they recognize that or not.
Well, all my name is there, it's just a question of...
So it's absolute. That's why Prabhupada wasn't... Right on the Nishore string was broken, didn't mean anything to Prabhupada.
Let's speak of what happened to Radharani in Vrindavan.
Isn't that our system? Even Prabhupada says in the for Vrindavan, all that he needed was the Sankirtan.
Fiestalesa.
This was for the Brahmins. That, all right, there was the proper Brahminical Vaidhi Pran Pratishtha.
Yeah, but the Sankirtan was the chanting of Vedic mantras. Was the chanting of mantras to invoke the deity's presence. He probably considered the chanting of devotees performed as the fulfilling and required mantras for invoking Krishna Balaram to appear.
What about the whole Archana procedures, uncovering the eyes and so on and so forth? And
but there's one thing, is Krishna there? And the other is the procedure. Now you're going to begin formal worship and you're going to actually make sort of an arrangement, a contract, where you're expected to maintain a certain standard of worship. I mean, Jagannath's there in the picture, but in this form, there's no contract for worshipping him, but over there, in Simanta, we devotees have an obligation to maintain a standard of worship. So that Pranapatishtha and that installation ceremony is actually the beginning of that formal worship and that standard which is going to start. Do you need to put something on his eyes for him to see, so that he sees, or a drop of ghee and then...
Well, is this in any way comparable to Chaitanya Charitamrita saying that the holy name doesn't wait for initiation to act?
Yeah.
As soon as the tongue touches the holy name, there's an effect. At the same time, we do have initiation ceremonies because they're ratifying of a making external something that hopefully is there internally.
and that it may more for the devotees than actually for the devis. I mean, if you recall, at least I remember, how pictures used to be in days of yore. Mm-hmm. I mean, we weren't allowed to dress in front of pictures.
Right.
You'd have to cover them. And they were formal pictures. We didn't have profile shots or things like that. We're treating them like history.
Sacred throw-outs. Anything with a picture of Krishna on it, you couldn't just toss in the ordinary rubbish bin.
Taking it out to the St. Lawrence all the time, people seeing us throwing stuff off the bridge.
Hearing this, all the devotees were astonished, especially Swoop Damodar, who became somewhat morose. From that day on, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's emotional state changed markedly. His feelings of separation from Krishna doubled in intensity. As his feelings of separation and the ecstasy of Srimati Radharani increased, at every moment, the Lord's activities, both day and night, were now wild, insane performances. Suddenly there awoke within Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu the scene of Lord Krishna's departure to Mathura. they began exhibiting the symptom of ecstatic madness known as Udgurna.
So more or less the way the Chaya is telling Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, everyone's intoxicated with the love of God, your mission's over, it's time to go. And now Lord Chaitanya's ecstasies are accelerating.
As a result of that? Is that what you're saying?
I'm not asking as a result of that, or because he knows he's going to leave and, you know, he's the last chapter and he's tasting things in so much more of a deep way.
We took it to be the grand finale.
His ecstasies?
That they redoubled after the message.
Changed, most changed more than doubled.
Like Bhaktisiddhanta Sahasrara Thakur says that Mahaprabhu's ecstasies changed from when he left to go to Gaya and came back. Things went from more awe and reverence to more spontaneous. So Bhaktisiddhanta Sahasrara remarks that as a dividing line. Not exactly, of course, clear-cut straight, but it was a significant turning point.
Well, that was because of Ishwar Puri, wasn't it? You'd speak about Mahaprabhu, right?
Yes.
Yeah, because he had met Ishwar Puri.
And he got Diksha.
And he was talking about his home life also. I'll dig it out for the next time.
His home life, meaning?
With Vishnupriya and...
What? Mentioned that before.
Yes.
So with Lakshmipriya, he was dealing differently than with Vishnupriya.
Yes,
Oh, you're right.
In fact, remember Bhaktisiddhanta said that with the first one, I always get confused. The first one's his first wife.
Lakshmi.
Yes. She needed to be eased out of the situation for another flavor to enter in as Lakshmi. Well, who's the second one?
Vishnupriya.
Yes, for Vishnu.
Because Lakshmipriya is wishing, she's wishing in awe and reverence.
Yes.
She's Boo.
Yes. And the next one, Vishnupriya, is Bhakti Devi. So there was a reason for Lakshmi to be, so to speak, eased out of the situation. It marked a turning point.
And Bhakti Devi meaning who?
He says Bhakti Devi.
There's a Bhakti Devi. Padma Purana, there's that pastime starts there. Bhakti Devi coming to Vrindavan and she finds her two sons, Gana and Vairagya, sort of dying, surely no personality.
Does she have she manifests in Braj in a particular Leela?
Yeah. This is more for only time I've seen her manifest like that in a personal form.
Wasn't that reference?
Yeah. Braj, I don't know. And it seems to be in a form of a Shakti rather than the form of someone as a pastime like a Brijbasi.
I always understood, or I should say understood, but thought that it might have also be Radharani's.
Yeah, well, we say Tulsi, Bhakti Devi, and they're all embodiments of Bhakti. But certainly there's a Bhakti Shakti.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, what narratives empowered with. And there's that personality.
Personified in Bhakti Devi.
Personified in Bhakti Devi. Just like Shrimati Radharani is considering the personification of Ladini Shakti. But because it's saturated with Bhakti, also Bhakti Devi.
Okay, I can read something here.
About Bhakti Devi?
Well, first of all, about Lakshmi. See, I'll look for it. Okay, here's what I was referring to. The pastimes Sri Gaurasundara displayed before going to Gaya mainly reveal his pastimes as Narayan. That is, in his household or pastimes, Srimad Mahaprabhu manifested only the form and characteristics of Narayan. Therefore, the household or pastimes of Lakshmi Priya and Gaurasundara should be understood to be the pastimes of Lakshmi Narayan and Vaikuntha. When Sri Gaurasundara revealed his love, in text 43 of Sri Gaura Ganadesha Deepika, Kavi Kanapa writes that King Janaka of Mithila appeared as Vallabhacharya in Gaura's pastimes. Lakshmi Priya was Vallabhacharya's daughter, and she was the combined form of Janaki and Rukmini. When Gaurasundara revealed his love and devotion openly for the first time in Gaya, Sri Lakshmi Priya disappeared. In other words, while Sri Vishnu Priya, who is the personification of loving devotional service, bhakti, was still growing up, Lakshmi Priya was present as the maidservant of Gaura Narayan. Gradually, as that personification of loving devotional service grew to be old enough to serve Sri Gaurasundara, Sri Lakshmi Devi was disappearing. And from the viewpoint of Tattva, Sri Vishnu Priya Devi is the personification of Bhu Shakti. In Sri Gaura Ganadesha Deepika, Kavi Kanapur writes that King Satrajit appeared in Gaura Lila as Raja Pandit Sanatan. The personified Bhu Shakti, Mother of the Universe, Sri Vishnu Priyaji was his only daughter. In Sri Chaitanya Chandra Dayanatak, Kavi Kanapur calls Sri Vishnu Priya Devi the form of the earth. Vishnu Priya Devi supports Sri Gaurasundara's loving devotional service. Sri Gaurasundara is the combined form of Radha and Krishna. So the mother of the universe, Vishnu Priya, who is affectionate to the devotees, can be called a maidservant of Radha and Krishna. She can be called a devotee, a companion, and a supreme goddess of the daughter of Vrishabhanu.
Supreme?
Goddess of the daughter of Vrishabhanu.
Supreme goddess of the daughter of Vrishabhanu.
In the Lord's Adi Lila, that is, up until he went to Gaya, whatever characteristics Sri Gaurasundara displayed belonged to his form as Narayan. He accepted Sri Lakshmi Priya and Sri Vishnu Priya as his legitimate wives. Even after returning from Gaya, whatever pastimes he exhibited are a mixture. In other words, in both sets of pastimes, one finds manifestations of opulence. For example, sometimes he displayed his forearm in the Sringa form in Srivasa's courtyard, his Varaha form at Maurya Gupta's house, and sometimes he climbed on Lord Vishnu's throne. In the last part of his householder life, he revealed to the world the sweet katha of Krishna's pastimes spoken by one absorbed in the mood of Radha. It is not that he did not speak Krishna Lila in the middle part of his householder life, but after he returned from Gaya, he called out loudly, Gopi, Gopi. This is because he was absorbed in the mood of a servitor, even though he himself is the object of service, the personality of Godhead. There's more later.
Bhakti Santa Sarasvati Thakur goes so deep.
You know, you just wonder the what, you know, who he's channeling. Well, I guess that's no question who he's channeling. He's Dayan Mani Manjari. But
I can go on reading more if you want, otherwise you can continue with the tenets every time.
This is so fun.
I'll go on. Question is asked to him. If Sri Gaurasundara is Krishna and Sri Gadadhar Pandit Radhika, then are there conjugal mellows between them? Answer. Sri Gaurasundara is the combined form of Radha and Krishna. He has Krishna's body or form, but he is completely absorbed in the mood of the daughter of Vrishabhanu. That mood is so intensely and integrally present in him that Radha's bodily complexion covers Krishna's blackish complexion. Pandit Sri Gadadhar Goswami, however, appears in Gauralila as Srimati Radharani's sentiment, and Sri Das Gadadhar is manifest as her complexion. In the texts 153 and 154, Sri Gaura Ganadas Deepika, Kavi Kanapur, writes, by his own will, Lord Chaitanya appeared in this world in three different forms at the same time. In the same way, Srimati Radharani appeared as Gadadhar Pandit. Srimati Radharani's expansion as Chandrakanti Devi appeared as Gadadhar Das, a close associate of Lord Chaitanya. By his supreme will, Sri Gaurasundara, who appeared with Radha's mood, himself appeared as Krishna, Radhika, and Lalita. Sri Gadadhar Pandit is the form of Radhika's mood. In other words, in order to manifest her emotion, Srimati Radhika appeared as Sri Gadadhar Pandit. To manifest her complexion, she appeared as Gadadhar Das. It is absurd to consider Mahaprabhu to be the embodiment of enjoyment, Krishna, and Gadadhar Pandit's enjoying with him, because Sri Gaurasundara is absorbed in Srimati Radharani's mood. Being absorbed in the mood of Ashraya Radhika. What do you mean? From that for you. Being absorbed in the mood of Ashraya Radhika, Lord Gaurasundara is always searching for Krishna. Gadadhar, too, absorbed in the mood of the Ashraya, supports Sri Gaurasundara's mood in the mellow separation. Both are intoxicated with that mood and mellow separation. Still, in Gadadhar's bhajan, we find that Gadadhar is considered Shakti Tattva, or the Lord's energy, while Gaurasundara is Shaktiman Tattva, or the supreme energetic. We should understand that Sri Gaurasundara has descended with the body of Rajendra Nandana and the mood and complexion of Sri Radhika, while Sri Gadadhar is the manifestation of that same Sri Radhika's mood and an expansion of her body. Gadadhar Pandit is not Srimati Radhika as such. He is the energy of the Ashraya category, or the form of her sentiment. Trying to deny the different characteristics found in the pastimes of separation and conjugal love through some invention invites the fault of rasa bhas, or the overlapping of rasas. Because of this fault, philosophies like Gauranga Nagaribad and others have cropped up.
Radha Bhava Juti Surata. So Gadadhar Pandit is Radha Bhav, and Gadadhar Das is Radha Juti, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is also both. And that Radha Juti, Gadadhar Das is that Chandrakanti, I did that thing, who's Chandrakanti, she appears in Nectar of Devotion. She's the Gandharva who danced, example of spontaneous devotional service, who attained Krishna's mercy, like became a by simply dancing for him.
But is that the same Chandrakanti?
Hmm?
That's the same Chandrakanti referred to?
Same Chandrakanti. And referred to by different people, Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, same. She's there described as a partial expansion of Srimati Vairani.
Chandrakanti.
Mm-hmm.
Tika from?
Excuse me?
That's Tika from which?
Conversation of Srila Prabhupada and the editor of the Gaudiya, Tuesday, March 23rd, 1926.
Taken from?
It's either one of the books I have or the other. It could be Pachamrita, it could be...
Oh, I see.
It could be the other one.
This is not from any of the things that... that the Bhaktivedanta Research Center is...
No. Maybe they have published something.
How do they read it so fast? They had no recorder.
The Sundara, what's his name?
Sundara.
He's supposed to be just... He knew shorthand.
Oh.
Yeah.
So he would just sit and just... Does anyone ever use that anymore, shorthand?
No.
It's gone.
No, it's not.
I saw someone doing it recently. I can't remember who it
was. I've seen them in a courtroom. I've seen them use that machine that the stenographers use. I forget what it's called. When they're taking depositions. It's only got a few buttons that they... I don't know how they do it, you know. But that was a while ago.
Really?
I was. Can I get out of it?
Okay.
From that day on, doubled in intensity. That was 31, isn't it? As his feelings of separation and the ecstasy of Srimati Radharani increased at every moment, the Lord's activities both day and night were now wild, insane performances. Suddenly there awoke within Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu the scene of Lord Krishna's departure to Mathura and began exhibiting the symptom of ecstatic madness known as Udgorna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke like a madman, holding Ramananda Roy by the neck, and he questioned Swarup Damodar, thinking him to be his gopi friend. Just as Srimati Radharani inquired from her personal friend Vishakha, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, reciting that very verse, began speaking like a madman. My dear friend, where is Krishna, who is like the moon rising from the ocean of Maharaj Nanda's dynasty? Where is Krishna? His head decorated with a peacock feather. Where is he? Where is Krishna, whose flute produces such a deep sound? Oh, where is Krishna, whose bodily luster is like the luster of the blue Indranila jewel? Where is Krishna, who is so expert in rasa dancing? Oh, where is he, who can save my life? Kindly tell me where to find Krishna, the treasure of my life and best of my friends. Feeling separation from him, I hereby condemn Providence, the shaper of my destiny. This verse is found in Lalita Madhava, Srila Rupa Goswami.
The family of Maharaj Nanda is just like an ocean of milk, wherein Lord Krishna has arisen like the full moon to illuminate the entire universe. Yaja, the residents of Braj, are like Chakora birds that continuously drink the nectar of his bodily luster, and thus they're peaceful. My dear friend, where is Krishna? Kindly let me see him. My heart breaks of not seeing his face even for a moment. Kindly show him to me immediately, otherwise I cannot live. The women of Vrindavan are just like lilies growing hot in the sun of lusty desires, but moonlight Krishna makes them all jubilant by bestowing upon them the nectar of his hands. My dear friend, where is my moon now? Save my life by showing him to me. My dear friend, where is that beautiful helmet with a peacock feather upon it like a rainbow upon a crown? Where are those yellow garments shining like lightning? And where is that necklace of pearls that resemble flocks of ducks flying in the sky? The blackish body of Krishna triumphs over the new blackish rain cloud. If a person's eyes even once capture that beautiful body of Krishna, it remains always prominent within his heart. Krishna's body resembles the sap of the mango tree, for when it enters the minds of women, it will not come out, despite great endeavor. Thus, Krishna's extraordinary body is like a thorn in the Shaya berry tree. It resembles the sap of a mango tree. You can't get it out. Krishna's bodily luster shines like the Indranila gem and surpasses the luster of the tamal tree. The luster of his body drives the entire world mad because providence has made it transparent by refining the essence of the metal of conjugal love and mixing it with the moonshine. The deep vibration of Krishna's flute surpasses the thundering of new clouds and attracts the oral reception of the entire world. Thus the inhabitants of Vrindavan rise and pursue that sound, drinking the showering nectar of Krishna's bodily luster like thirsty chatterpots. Krishna is the reservoir of art and culture, and he is the panacea that saves my life. Oh, my dear friend, since I live without him, who is the best among my friends, I condemn the duration of my life. I think that Providence has cheated me in many ways. Why does Providence continue the life of one who does not wish to live? This thought aroused anger and lamentation in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who then recited a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam that chastises Providence and makes an accusation against Krishna.
Who's Providence in this case?
Hmm?
Who is Providence in this case?
Fate.
Seems to personify.
Hmm?
It seems to personify fate. Chastise Providence. Why does Providence continue?
Leela Shakti. Well, it's between Yoga Maya and Vrinda Devi. They're the ones who sort of script Krishna's pastime.
Mm-hmm.
Seems to cover, and yeah, she arranges, whether she's directly or sort of a feature of hers, is Providence. Providence seems to be like the plan, makes a plan, which is really part of Yoga Maya's overall thing. One is to plan the phenomena, the other is to cover Krishna and the devotees.
Must be one of his unlimited Shaktis. I mean, like Satya Sankalpa Shakti.
Yeah, and then if you ask, well, where's the personification of that one?
Yeah.
Probably there, somewhere in Vrindavan, but who? Like, Like it just the mention is there in the first canto, Kunti Devi is Krishna's fame, reputation, or potency. Yeah, it's in purple.
O Providence, you have no mercy. You bring embodied souls together through friendship and affection, but before their desires are fulfilled, you separate them. Your activities are like the foolish pranks of children. Purport. This verse, quoted from Srimad Bhagavatam, was chanted by the damsels of Braj when Krishna left Vrindavan for Mathura with Akura and Balaram. The gopis lamented that Providence had made it possible for them to meet Krishna and Balaram in affection and love, and had then separated them. Providence, you do not know the purport of loving affairs, and therefore you baffle all our endeavors. This is very childish of you. If we could catch you, we would give you such a lesson that you would never again make such arrangements. O cruel Providence, you are very unkind, for you bring together in love people who are rarely in touch with each other. Then, after you have made them meet, but before they are fulfilled, you again spread them far apart. O Providence, you are so unkind. You reveal the beautiful face of Krishna and make the mind and eyes greedy. But after they have drunk the nectar, that nectar for only a moment, you whisk Krishna away to another place. This is a great sin, because you thus take away what you have given as charity. O misbehaved Providence, if you reply to us, Akura is actually at fault. Why are you angry with me? Then I say to you, Providence, you have taken the form of Akura and have stolen Krishna away. No one else would behave like this. But this is the fault of my own destiny. This is the fault of my own destiny. Why should I needlessly accuse you? There is no intimate relationship between you and me. Krishna, however, is my life and soul. It is we who live together, and it is he who has become so cruel. At least, like that. There's no intimate relationship between me. Destiny, Providence, and me, but Krishna, we do have an intimate relationship.
No personal relationship. I don't know you. I don't know who you are. You're just like moving around somewhere, filling with people, but we're not intimately connected with Krishna. We are.
He for whom I have left everything is personally killing me with his own hands. Krishna has no fear of killing women. Indeed, I am dying for him. But he doesn't even turn back to look at me. Within a moment, he has broken off our loving affairs.
If these feelings of separation were to be categorized within various categories of separation, what would it be? How would they be defined?
These are like Chitra Japa. Mad talks, like to the bumblebee. Subject where stop cursing Providence. Cursing Brahma.
Is it man?
You're so foolish. You only make one set of eyes. Is it?
Man?
Oh, at what stage?
Yeah.
This is probably more like Mahabharata. If you look up Udgurna, I think you'll see probably stage of Mahabharata.
Yeah, especially if these are closing sentiments.
Well, we're heading for Brahma Gita and by the queen who's in, what is that again called? He's there.
Prema Vaichitya.
Prema Vaichitya. Yeah.
That's interesting that they're like the personification of Prema Vaichitya, because Srimati Radharani exhibits it. But it does seem, because it's not mentioned in the Bhagavatam, therefore, although their Prema Vaichitya must be weaker than that of gopis. The Bhagavatam doesn't give an example of it. But yeah, it's listed as practically the last thing in the Bhagavatam. Beautiful prayers. Kurari, oh Kurari.
Somewhere in, I think, chapter Chaitanya Charitamrita, the life's ultimate goal, it's listed that Vipralamba Seva has two divisions, Prema Vaichitya and the other.
Well, there's man, and there's Krishna, what? Sandur, and there's distance, what's it called? And Krishna goes to Dwarka.
Those are three different types of separation. When he goes daily, when he goes long distances.
And long distances. Permanently.
Yeah, Prem Kalachitya and.
I can dig it out.
Separation.
I've always thought man was the next stage after Prem Kalachitya.
Prema, Sneha, Man, Rag, Anurag, Prema, Sneha, Pranay, Man, Rag, Anurag, Bhav, Mahabhav.
Vipralamba has four divisions, Purvara, Mana, Prabhas, and Prema Vaichitya.
Yeah. Purvara.
Prabhas is when he goes away.
When he goes away.
Purvara is before meeting.
Before meeting. And then Prema Vaichitya is in presence.
In his presence. Prabhas is when he's gone, which has different divisions. And what was the fourth one?
Prema Vaichitya, Purvarag, Mana.
Mana, that's what I got. Yeah, that's a good one.
Of the four kinds of separation, three, Purvarag, Pravas, and Mana, are celebrated in Srimati Radharani and the Gopis. In Dwarka, among the queens, feelings of Prema Vaichitya are very prominent.
Although Radharani manifests Prema Vaichitya also.
Gopis do also,
yeah.
But because it's not mentioned in the Bhagavatam, yeah, and the Bhagavatam becomes sort of the main pramana, therefore the queens are cited.
Is that pastime of Madhumanga?
Prema Sarova.
Prema Sarova.
And she does it other places. Other times.
Madhu is gone.
Madhu
is gone.
Madhu is gone.
Okay.
Are you finished?
Yes.
Which verse did you end on? 52?
52.
In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lamented in the mood of separation. Alas, alas, O Krishna, where have you gone? Feeling in his heart the ecstatic emotions of the gopis, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu agonized in their words, saying, O Govinda, O Damodara, O Madhava. Srup Damodara Ramananda Roy then.
There's a song like that, O Govinda, O Damodara.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a wonderful song. Yeah. It's. What's his name? Chants it so nicely. Our God brother.
Oh, someone chants it.
Huh?
Someone sings it.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a God brother, Vrindavan. Mukunda Dutt. Yeah. He chants it very nicely. Yeah. I can't remember
the name. I started here, although I didn't have much time, started chanting legends. I'm going to.
I'll be happy to.
Well, then you should do it when we do that. But Maharaj is going.
Who's going?
24th.
24th is going.
Oh.
Yeah, we should do some budgets.
I can easily get some printouts if you give me some budgets that you want to chant.
About 5 budget books, yeah.
I can get printouts. I was thinking of getting one of those projectors that they have now for the budgets. You can just connect, it's the size of a mobile phone, you just connect it to your mobile phone.
Connect it to your mobile phone?
Connect it to your mobile phone.
They're so cheap these days also.
Yeah. Connect it to your mobile phone and just project on the wall.
What do you want to connect it to your mobile phone?
Well, you can connect to your computer, but you don't always have your computer, but I always have your
mobile phone. Oh, because everything's, the stuff's on the phone, not on the phone. I'm good.
I don't know. I asked my disciple about when I was in Boston. He said they have it at Brookstone.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyways. Surup Damodar and Ramananda Roy then devised various means to pacify the Lord. They sang songs of meaning that transformed his heart, made his mind peaceful. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lamented, in this way half the night passed. Then Srup Damodara made the Lord lie down in the room known as the Gambhira. After the Lord was made to lie down, Ramananda Roy returned home, and Srup Damodara and Govinda lay down at the door of the Gambhira. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed awake all night, chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, his mind overwhelmed by spiritual ecstasy. Feeling separation from Krishna, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so distraught that in great anxiety, he stood up and began rubbing his face against the walls of the Gambhira. Blood oozed from the many injuries on his mouth, nose and cheeks, but due to his ecstatic emotions, the Lord did not know it. In ecstasy, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rubbed his face against the walls all night long, making a peculiar sound, gong gong, which Srup Damodar could hear through the door. Lighting a lamp, Srup Damodar and Govinda entered the room. When they saw the Lord's face, they were filled with sorrow. They brought the Lord to his bed, calmed him, and asked, why have you done this to yourself? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, I was in such anxiety I could not stay in the room. I wanted to go out, and therefore I wandered about the room looking for the door. Unable to find the door, I kept hitting the four walls of my face. My face was injured and it bled, but I still could not get out. In this state of madness, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mind was unsteady. Whatever he did, whatever he said, was all symptomatic of madness. Srup Damodara was very anxious, but then he had an idea. The following day, he and the other devotees considered it together. After consulting with one another, they entreated Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to allow Shankar Pandit to lie down in the same room with him. Thus, Shankar Pandit lay at the feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and the Lord placed his legs upon Shankar's body. Shankar became celebrated by the name Prabhu Padopadana, the pillow of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was like Vidura, as Shukadeva Goswami previously described him. When submissive Vidura, the resting place of the legs of Lord Krishna, had thus spoken to Maitreya, Maitreya began speaking, his hair standing on end, due to the transcendental pleasure of discussing topics concerning Lord Krishna.
Sharanupadanam, the resting pillow for the legs. Sharanupadanam.
Quotation from Bhagavatam 3.13.5.
What's the time?
Eight. Eight.
Should we finish this pastime?
How much longer is it?
Putting the pillow before he goes out.
Yes, because then comes Gardener Jagannath Balad.
Yeah, why are we going to guard it?
A bit of the Brahmada Gita and the prayers by the queens.
Shankar massaged the legs of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Before massaging, he would fall asleep and thus lie down. He would lie asleep without a covering on his body, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would get up and wrap him with his own quilt. Shankar Pandit would always fall asleep, but he would quickly awaken, sit up, and again begin massaging the legs of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In this way, he would stay awake the entire night. Out of fear of Shankar, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could neither leave his room nor rub his lotus-like face against the walls. This pastime of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is described very nicely by Raghunath Das Goswami in his book known as Gauranga Stava Kalpavriksha. Because of separation from his many friends in Vrindavan, who were like his own life, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke like a madman. His intelligence was transformed. Day and night he rubbed his moon-like face against the walls and blood flowed from the injuries. May that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rash in my heart and make me mad with love. In this way Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed immersed day and night in the ocean of ecstatic love for Krishna. Sometimes he was submerged and sometimes he floated. Okay, if we are fortunate enough, then we can continue one full moon night in the month of Vaishakha.
All right, thank you both. Thank you.
Breath of fresh air.
Definitely.
Oh, if we could only do this in the conference room on the fourth floor. If we could only do this in the conference room on the fifth floor of the Koch building for a few days.
Yeah.
Before we start.
Before we start, or every day.
I'm going to turn it off.